Saga Egmont presents Before the Storm by Mikael Katz-Krefeld, translated by Sinéad Kirke Kengeskov, read by Anna Tolstoy. The anxiety left his body. It oozed out as thin, milky threads through every pore. He no longer had sight or hearing to register his surroundings. Instead, his body was like a forest of tentacles that could register only euphoria, a state without form, but with a smouldering warmth you find on special days in May. It had been so long since he had last felt this all-encompassing and intoxicating sensation. He had sworn the time of intoxication was over. But all this didn't matter now. The shame and bitter sense of defeat were things he only dimly remembered. Now, there was only this humming, soft sensation. Not even the cigarette glow, which burnt deep into the skin between his fingers, reached him any longer. Yet he sensed he was going to die. He knew the dosage of this fruit-sweet poison in his slender body was far too great. He wouldn't be able to make it back to life. Back to his armchair in the living room, with the faded wallpaper and the water damage on the ceiling above him. Instead, at the end of this intoxication, he would burn up like an overheated engine, shattering into atoms. The fear suddenly returned, icy and with a force like the polar wind. It came as he sensed the shadows circling around him, foul-smelling and flailing like demons. He couldn't determine their number, only that they enveloped him, as if they were waiting for his last breath. They were talking, he was sure of that, even if he didn't recognize the words. One of the shadows stretched out from the others, grew as it approached his face. It looked at him with icy eyes, studied him intently like a surgeon before making the decisive cut. He felt the vibrations against his chest as the creature's hoarse, throaty sound hit him. "You must die now. No one can save you." He recognized the figure. It had been there all his life, a threat over them all. Then he sensed no more. Chapter 1 Maya Holm hurried down the hospital corridor that led to the A&E. Her clogs thumped rhythmically against the linoleum floor. The call from the ambulance, already en route, had briefly reported an OD. An overdose patient hadn't yet regained consciousness, despite rescuers pumping him full of naloxone, which would normally be enough to wake even an elephant. But not him. He was far away. The antibody had only worsened his condition, tampering with his heart rhythm, making the sine curve on the graph whip around madly. She had already prepared the room he was to be taken into and briefed the A&E staff about the incoming patient. In addition to equipping herself with anti-narc, she had also ensured there were enough adrenaline ampules and that the defibrillator, the one still working, was reserved for her, just as a precaution, in case the patient suddenly went into cardiac arrest. The overcrowded reception area smelled of sweat, damp clothes and dry mouths, a waiting room smell that existed whether in A&E in Norway or Denmark. The sight of Maya's lab coat caused impatient unrest among the waiting patients and their relatives. Out of the corner of her eye, she sensed several people trying to attract her attention, but she had to ignore them. The doctor shortage was glaringly obvious in this room, like in the rest of the country. As so often happened at this time of year, the polar wind had claimed victims on the coastal road. All day there had been an influx of patients injured by traffic accidents. Broken legs and internal injuries had merged into each other, and she could no longer distinguish one case from the other. Except for a single incident, which wouldn't release its hold. A family of three rammed sideways in their Lupo by a Japanese four-wheel drive. The young mother was now comatose on a ventilator three floors above A&E, not knowing her husband and their four-year-old daughter had been killed. The most humane thing would be to disregard her doctor's oath and turn off the ventilator immediately. Maya herself had come close to falling victim to the capricious wind. On her journey from Denmark to the Norwegian Vestland, it had repeatedly tried to throw her into the abyss. The polar wind wasn't content with only freezing the roads, it also dragged the sea fog with it. The combination of poor visibility and icy roads was treacherous.